I know it's his desire to serve us, to serve the Lord. And I know he would appreciate your smiles and your prayers this morning. Apostle Frank Pham.
Thank you, Brother Bick. Good morning, all. Good morning, Jason. It's good to see you here. Whenever I stand up behind this desk, my main thought, almost always, is that I wish someone else was here. I do not like to stand here and preach. I feel so inadequate. And I feel like that I'm never going to say that which is what the congregation needs. So that's why I'm always appreciative of your prayers and your thoughts, that I might be able to deliver what he would have me to deliver. My way of preparing for a sermon is I think about it pretty much all week. Then pretty much just before, I get some scriptures to go with it. And when that happened this time, I ended up with about 50 scriptures. And so consequently, I'm going to a lot of times not read these scriptures. I'm just going to mention them. And I would like you to write them down. I'd like you to go home, study those scriptures. You know, Paul told the people of Berea to go home and study and see whether the things that he told them were true or not. And I challenge you to do the same thing. Whether it be me standing up here or whether it be any minister, I challenge you to test us. That is one of your duties as a follower of Christ. There was a few years ago going around, I think it started with a book, maybe went into a radio show, I don't remember all of it, but it kind of faded with time. But the title of this move was The Good News of the Gospel. And we heard a few years ago, that's about all we heard. The Good News of the Gospel. And there was nothing wrong with that. I liked it. But this morning I'm going to talk a little about some more good news. Good news for you and I. Good news on a personal level. And that good news is us following Jesus Christ. At this day and in this age, it's most important that we have someone to follow. Someone to follow that will lead us on the right road. That will lead us down the right path. That will lead us from temptation. From those many things in this world that are causing us problems. Look at the news every day, and you will see that the world is getting ripe. There was great joy and celebration yesterday in the state of New York. Maybe you've seen it. Where the legislature signed into law the legality of same-sex marriage. Joy. Celebration. But you and I, following after Jesus Christ, have an opportunity to celebrate. Have an opportunity to have joy. And that celebration and that joy is in the right. Doing that which God pleases. Doing that which is right in the sight of our Heavenly Father. Yeah, this world is getting ripe. Ripe for destruction. And that destruction will happen, mark my word. I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know how soon. But it will happen. And so you and I, as followers of Christ, must prepare for this great event. Way back in the Old Testament, in the 29th chapter of 2 Chronicles, King Hezekiah commanded Israel that the people consecrate themselves to the Lord. Today, you and I have that same command. God is telling us to consecrate our lives, consecrate our efforts to Jesus Christ. Our ministry here from this pulpit are doing this almost constantly, telling us in one way or another that we must change. I am going to read one scripture here. And it's just one verse out of the 12th chapter of Romans. And it's the first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Our dear Apostle Paul is talking to you and I because we are the brethren of the church. We are the brethren of the faith. We are the brethren under the banner of Jesus Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's not asking us to do something that is outrageous or out of line or above us. He's asking our reasonable service. And what is this sacrifice of praise that it talks about here in Romans 12:1? What is that sacrifice of faith? Well, if you go over to Hebrews, write this down, Hebrews 13:15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's the sacrifice of praise. That word did I do? And I guess the question is, do we do it? Do we praise God continually? Do we give him his due in all things? Do we recognize his hand within our lives? And do we praise him for the many blessings that you and I have? Brothers and sisters, we're the most blessed people in the world. Blessed because we have the true gospel of Christ. Blessed because we have the opportunity to follow him. Blessed because he intercedes in our lives. And that sacrifice of praise needs to be on our lips daily. And then Peter admonishes the priesthood along these same lines. Now Peter's talking to the priesthood here, remember that. When he says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You, the ministry that are sitting here this morning, have you ever thought that that's your job? To offer up spiritual sacrifices to God? It is more than just standing here behind this desk and preaching the word. It's more than just showing up for meetings. So we, the priesthood, are to offer up sacrifices to God. And what is this? What are these sacrifices that you and I, as the ministry in the Church of Christ, are to offer? I'd say it's to offer our time. Sacrifice of our time. We all think, and this includes not only the priesthood, but everyone here, that we are a busy people, and we are. But we sometimes use that excuse not to offer up that sacrifice of time to our Heavenly Father. And being a true follower of Jesus Christ, it is commanded. About the sacrifice of love. Not only the love of God and Jesus Christ, which everyone here this morning has. Or we wouldn't be here. We have a love of God. And we have a love of Jesus Christ. But is that love carried down to our daily lives, one with another? And I say no. I say it is not. I say through our actions, our deeds, our words, we show that we do not have the sacrifice of love to our Heavenly Father. Shame on us. About self-denial. Can you and I deny ourselves and put God first? Or do we tend to think of our own wants, our own needs, our own desires, our own agendas, and put behind us and aside of us the desires, the wants of our Heavenly Father? About the sacrifice of service. Do we truly serve? Sometimes it's not big things. Sometimes it's little things. We had a man get sick this morning, and we prayed for him in a season of prayer. A couple of our sisters drove him home because he was too weak. That's service. Service not only to God, but service to our fellow man. And it's easy to serve one another within the church. But how well do we do outside the church? How well do we do with our friends and our neighbors, or maybe even our enemies? How about the sacrifice of example? Do we show through our living our life a good example for Christ? Brothers and sisters, people look at us every day. And what do they see? Do they see a holy people? Do they see a God-fearing people? Do they see a loving people, a concerned people? Or do they see the same as they see when they look into the world? We should be set apart. We should be examples not only to each other, but examples to the world. For our job within the Church of Christ is not only to follow Christ, but to bring others to Him. And the best way we do that is in and through our example. You know, Jesus was our example. We read about Him. We study about Him. In Matthew, it says that Jesus came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And I like what it says in Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Let this mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus. We need to think about that statement. We need to ponder it a little while. What does it mean to have a mind like Christ Jesus? I think it says, to think like Christ. To talk like Christ. To act like Christ. To be Christ-like. I'm something... Excuse me. Something I think is very important I want to read. It's in the Book of Mormon. It's in 3 Nephi. It's not very long. It's just one or two verses. But it's very important. I think we should read it. So if you have your books, open to 3 Nephi, 13th chapter. This is Jesus Christ talking. And he's talking to the people here on this land. Now, I'm just going to read one verse. Let it sink into your minds. Let it challenge you as it challenged me. Verse 5. Therefore, what manner of men ought you to be? You know, Christ is asking of the people, what kind of a man should you be? Verily, I say unto you, even as I am. It's a sobering statement. I could ask the question today of the congregation and ask you and me too, how close am I to being like Jesus Christ? And I would have to say for myself, a long way away. And yet, if we are to be the true followers of Him and earn all of the goodness that He has for you and I, it says we must be like Him. That gives a lot of room for improvement, does it not? We have to look at this honestly. And we have to look at ourselves honestly. How close to that are you and I? So, we are called to this complete consecration. Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Oh, in our consecration, we have to learn of Him. if we're going to be like Christ, as the Book of Mormon tells us we're to be, we have to learn what that is like. We have to know what Christ says. We have to know what he does. We have to know how he acts. How do we find that out? Study? Absolutely. Prayer? Absolutely. Fasting? Yeah. Classes like we have in Sunday school? Absolutely. But we have to be there. We have to study. We have to pray. And why do we do this? To be His. Our goal is to become Christ's children. In Romans, the 8th chapter, 9th verse. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It's a pretty strong statement. That's a thought-provoking statement. If we haven't the Spirit of Christ within us, he's none of us. He don't know us. We better have that Spirit. We better absorb that Spirit of Christ so that we truly are His. Another question that kind of comes to my mind is, does our consecration, better yet, in our consecration to God, in our consecration to Christ, does it matter what we believe? Does it matter what we believe? I've heard, and you have too, I'm sure, that says, doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. I think I'd like to read out of 2 Thessalonians. Second chapter. I'm just going to read one verse, 13th verse. But when you're home and you're studying, I want you to read three or four verses before and three or four verses after. 13th verse says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The truth leads you and I to life eternal. And error leads us to death and damnation. is it matter what we believe? Would it matter if I took on a trip and I got on the road to St. Louis and it was a nice straight road and wide and it was taking me to St. Louis, but I wanted to go to Denver? Nice road. Straight road, smooth road, but it's not taking me where I want to go. Would you and I consider, as followers of Jesus Christ, to follow Buddha? You'd be sincere in it. But would it take you where you want to go? Paul told Timothy when he was getting into the ministry. He says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Take heed to thyself and unto doctrine." And then we are warned. Very strongly we are warned. Take heed not to be carried about by every wind of doctrine. False doctrine is of man. Oh, and sometimes it sounds good. Sometimes it sounds pleasant. But it won't take us where we want to go. And where do we want to go? We want to be followers of Jesus Christ. We want to sit on the right hand of God. We want eternal life at the judgment. We need to take that path that leads us where we want to go. Now, if it is our desire for death and damnation, then yeah, let's follow another path. But I dare say that those here this morning want eternal life. How do we know whether the doctrine is of man or of God? How do we know? A couple of ways, isn't there? Through prayer, through inspiration, finding out whether it agrees with the Bible or the Book of Mormon. We need to know. To be true followers of God, we need to spend a lot of time on our knees, asking God to give us the wisdom, asking God to give us the discernment so that we know the true doctrine of Christ. So, what does all this mean? You know, I've said a lot. What does it mean to, if we follow Christ and consecrate our lives and sacrifice the things that we need to sacrifice? What's the result? We find Christ. We find truth. And then we live that life. And then we reap the rewards of that life. And that reward is being on the right hand of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father expects a lot out of you and I. To whom much is given, much is expected. And He has put into our hands His words. And He has put the responsibility on our shoulders. To further His kingdom within the world. But to do this, we need to more consecrate. To do this, we have to have more sacrifice. To do this, we must have more knowledge. And to get this, we must have more study. To have this, we must have more discernment. And to get this, we must spend more time upon our knees. So God is expecting us to truly follow Him, to step up to the plate, so to speak, and take on the responsibility that He has given each one of us here this morning. Helen Steiner Rice wrote a poem that I like a lot. And I think it's one of the keys to how we accomplish what we've talked about this morning. And it's daily prayers. I meet God in the morning and go with Him through the day. Then in the stillness of the night before I sleep, come I to pray that God will just take over all the problems I couldn't solve. And in the peacefulness of sleep, my cares will all resolve. So when I open my eyes to greet another day, I'll find myself renewed in strength, and there will open up a way to meet what seemed impossible for me to solve alone. And once again, I'll be assured I am never on my own. For if we try to stand alone, we are weak and we will fall. For God is always greatest when we're helpless, lost, and small. But no day is unmeetable if on rising our first thought is to thank God for our blessings that His loving care has brought. For there can be no failures or hopeless, unsaved sinners if we enlist the help of God, who makes all losers winners. So meet him in the morning and go with him through the day and thank him for his guidance each evening when you pray. And if you follow faithfully this daily way to pray, you will never in your lifetime face another hopeless day. Thank you very much for your time.